We will read Leviticus chapter 16, and we're going to start with verse number 1. I'm going to read 14 verses, so give me a second to read it all. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron not to come at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering, and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with the linen sash, and with the linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore, he shall wash his body in water and put them on. He shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering and one ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness." I think I'm going to stop right there. I said 14, but I think this will give us the point that the Lord has put on my heart. This is the preparation for the Day of Atonement. A Day of Atonement, maybe you don't know or remember what that is. That is the one day when the priest, it is the high priest, and it was only the high priest, he was allowed to go into the most holy place, the tabernacle. The tabernacle was composed of three parts, as I'm sure you remember. There was the outer court, the inner court, and then there was the most holy place. Everybody was able to go into the outer court. The priest was able to go into the inner court frequently, but certainly only on the Lord's direction. But the most holy place, one man was only allowed to go there once per year, because this is where the presence of God dwelt. As he says, "I dwell in the middle of that mercy seat." And so what we have here is a whole litany of instructions, of requirements, of things that had to be done before the priest was allowed to go into that most holy place. If you read through and you continue reading, there will be more requirements, more things that he has to do, more rules that have to be followed. Because if he didn't, God would strike them as dead. Hard to imagine, but that's because the Lord is so holy and he would give them all these requirements before they were able to come before him, and they had to follow them all. And the requirements go on throughout the rest of this chapter. And even as we went through this, there are so many. They had different clothes to wear. He had different places. He had to wash a certain way. He had to bring offerings for himself for different reasons. He had one offering for this, one offering for that. Then he had to turn to the people, and there was one offering for the hurt people, and another offering for a different category for the people. And then there was the scapegoats. There's all these different things. It's just this amazing, elaborate, detailed requirements before coming into the presence of the Lord. The priest went through so much before they could go into God's presence. And sometimes we just have to look at it and say, wow, this was just incredible. All the things that were required before they could go before God. And then we look at something that goes along the lines of a verse in Ephesians, which I will read to you. It's Ephesians 3, and it's 11-12. Ephesians 3, 11-12, I will read it to you. It says, "According to the eternal purpose which He, God, accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him." We have boldness and we have access, and we have it with confidence because of the work of Jesus. We have boldness, we have access, we have confidence because of the work that Jesus did on the cross. Because before Jesus went to the cross and tore down the veil, because there was this big, huge veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place, or the inner court from the most holy place. There was a big veil, and when Jesus died, the veil was ripped, supernaturally ripped, because God wanted that veil gone. But before that time, this in Leviticus 10 was the only way to get into God's presence. This was the only way to get into God's presence. There were massive amounts of rules, and there were massive amounts of requirements, and there was significant fear as well. The penalty for not obeying was death. There's even one place in Ezekiel. You could find it in Ezekiel. It might be Ezekiel 44, where it says that the priests have to wear clothing and they can't sweat. They can't sweat with so many requirements, with such a penalty on death. I would be sweating no matter what. But it says they can't sweat even. Because this is what it took to go in the presence of a holy God. But now we have the ability to just go before Him anytime. We have the ability to come into His presence anytime. In fact, He dwells in us. We are the temple now. The Bible tells us you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're the temple. You have the same thing, the outer court, the inner court, the holy place. We won't go into that, but you are the temple. God dwells in you. We don't have to go through all the elaborate washings and all the elaborate sacrifices and all the elaborate details. But God is still the same God. He's still the same God. And thank God we don't have to go through all those requirements. It's not a matter of, this is not a matter of posture, of how you are, or you know what you do with your body. It's what you do with your heart now. It's what you do with your heart. It's not a matter of how you pray or where you pray. It's a matter of you have boldness and you have access, and you should have it with confidence because of what Christ did for us. He has opened the way. He has opened the door. He has cut through that veil, and He wants you to have free access to come to Him. No longer is it once a year. No longer is it only for one man. Now it's for all of us. Now it's for all of us. But His holiness is still the same. His holiness is still the same. There was such a penalty that not in the Bible, but it is told so often in so many places, written about in so many places, that they say, it's not in the Bible, so it's what people say. They say that when the priest went into the most holy place, that they tied a rope around his ankle. I don't know if that's true. I mean, I've heard it just probably 500 times. But they say that they tied a rope around his ankle because in case he should pass away, in case he should die, they could pull him out. Severe penalties for going before God in an unjust way. Without meeting the requirements of God. But this is what you and I have every day, all day, every day of the year. No matter where we are, if we make our beds in the mountain, if we make it in the depths of the sea, God is there with us. And we could go into His presence anytime. Anytime we could go into His presence. The Old Testament priests, if they were to look at us, they would be absolutely amazed. Because they went through all of these things. If they looked at us and they knew what we had, if they realized how easy it was for us to go into the presence of God, they would be amazed. And sometimes, part of the risk of Jesus splitting that veil and giving us boldness and access with confidence, part of the risk is that we might lose the awe of what we're doing. We might lose the awe of being able to go into God's presence. We might lose the fascination, and we might lose the seriousness. The Bible calls it often the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord. Because it is so simple. Because it is so common. Because we don't often think about it. So we lose and could lose, if we're not careful, the incredible awe of the gift that we have, the privilege that we have to go before this holy God, this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords, the one who had so many different rules before we could go to Him. We don't have that anymore. We don't have that anymore. Jesus took care of it. He removed all the obstacles. Isn't it wonderful? He's removed all the obstacles so that we could go before Him just quickly. And we don't have to go through all kinds of hoops. We just bring ourselves. The prophets long to see the day that we experience every single day, where the treasure of being able to go before the Lord is experienced. The amazement of us being able to go before God, the awesome wonder of it, the joy and the privilege of what we have. They would be amazed. You know, the Bible tells us that we are the priesthood now. Right? Just that as the priest did all of these things, now the Bible says in multiple places that you are part of the priesthood. Remember, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a chosen people. You're set apart for Him. You are, you probably sung that song when you're in kids church. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That's you. You're that same priest. Now, according to the Bible, you're the priest. And you take care of the temple. And the temple is you. And we come together as the church. And God's presence is with us. And we don't have to be concerned about dying when we go into His presence. But with that, we must remember who we're going before. Because God is still to be held in awe by us. He is still to be given the majesty that He deserves. And the only difference is that Jesus has made the way. The only difference is the incredible work of Jesus on the cross. This is what has made the change. This is what has made the difference. This is what has allowed us to have this boldness and to have this access and to be confident going in and Jesus dying on the cross. His work is amazing. His work is incredible. And it shows the great love that He has for us because He wanted us to do that. He wanted us to be able to come before Him. He wanted us to be able to come into His presence all the time. He did not want it to be so difficult. He did not want what the priests had to go through for all men. He wanted you to be able to go before Him. He wanted you to be able to stand in His presence. He wanted you to be able to do this. He wanted you to be able to come to Him any time of the day or night. No restrictions. And so He gave His life to be able to do that.
do that for you.
He gave his life so that you can do that. But sometimes when it becomes too familiar to us, we lose the sight of how great a gift we have.
Sometimes when the miraculous, when the amazing becomes commonplace,
it's not so amazing anymore.
I'll give you an example, because there's so many examples all around. Do you remember when the space shuttle first was making its launches? I mean, early on, this many, many years ago.
When the space shuttle was first being launched,
this was quite an amazing thing. And you didn't even have to be a technical person to just be fascinated by the story. And what would happen is people would gather by the thousands at the launch site just to see it go off. They would gather by the thousands, and some of them would camp overnight, and some of them would bring RVs, and there would be this huge watching party as people watched this unique thing happen. But then fast forward 10 years, and then the launch sites have gone. The witnessing of those launches would slow down, and they would diminish until there wasn't that many, and it wasn't even a big deal. Sometimes you would hear about it as a footnote in the news. The space shuttle launched again. They're going to be up there for 3 months.
Really?
And it's because what was absolutely amazing at one time now became commonplace. What was absolutely a wonder and was headline news now became just a buried article on page 3 of the newspaper. Because it was no big deal.
It was still the same amazing thing, but it was no big deal in the minds of people because it became common.
And this is the way we are. This is the way we are as people.
There's another, I'll give you another example. When I first
joined the project at work that I'm currently in, we would do a weekend experiment.
And the weekend experiment very often would produce like 1 million to 2 million lines of output.
And somebody would have to go through the 1 million to 2 million lines of output.
Now, to give you some perspective,
a book like War and Peace, one of those big, huge, thick 1,400 or so pages, depending on who prints it, that book has around 580 or 600,000 words. Words. Now, I'm talking, what we had to analyze was 1 million lines of data.
1 million lines. So maybe on the order of 1.5, sometimes 2, sometimes 3 War and Peace
had to be analyzed every week. That's impossible.
So they would actually put 10 people,
and that was their full-time job, and they would work on it for 2 weeks. And by the time they were done, there was already more to be done. 10 people, full-time, 2 weeks
to do this.
Well, one of my friends, he came up with a computer program, and then all of a sudden what took 10 people 2 weeks to do was able to be done in 1 minute. It took
1 minute to do what used to take
10 people 2 weeks. And we all thought that was great. But within about a week, it was no longer great. It was just expected. Within a week, if the analysis took more than a minute, we were getting scolded. What used to take forever for a lot of people, now if it wasn't done within
90 seconds, people would want the analysis done while they were waiting on the phone.
We would get a call, get it done. I'm waiting. The amazement was over. The awe of what happened was over.
And now it was expected.
Now it was commonplace. Now the impossible, it seemed impossible, was now just an everyday occurrence. There was nothing special about it anymore. It was just something we had to do.
And in fact, as time went on, improvements had to be made. It wasn't good enough that it was done in a minute.
It wasn't good enough. We had to do more things in that minute. Because that's the way we are. What was impossible yesterday?
If it's possible today, it's expected tomorrow. And this is the way we often can be with our walk with the Lord.
Our ability to go into His presence can become so commonplace that we forget the incredible awe of what we're able to do. We lose sight of the ability of the knowledge of what Jesus has done for us. He's done such a wonderful thing. He's done such an incredible thing. He's taken away all the difficulties. He's taken away all the obstacles. He's taken away all the things that would keep us away. The things that would make us fearful. He says, come on. Come. Come and come with boldness. Don't worry. Don't worry. You have an open door. Come anytime. You want to come? Come with confidence. Come that you know. Come knowing that I want you to come. Come knowing that I love you. Come knowing that I have done everything I can. He has
done and paid all of this price and all of the risk of all the negative things that could happen, and He's done that for life. He's done that because He wants you in His presence. That's even one of the things that Jesus says, I desire that they whom you've given me, they would be with me. That's a desire of Jesus, that you will spend time with Him. The Bible even says, this is eternal life, knowing Him. This is eternal life. All the things that we fight for and we fall for and we go after in this world, Jesus tells us, knowing Him is what is eternal life. There's nothing higher than that. Nothing higher than knowing Him. And with that, there's one more verse that I will read to you in Romans 8. Give me a second as I turn there. Romans 8, and it's verse number 32. Knowing what Jesus has done for us, this is what He says. It says in verse 31, I'll start there. It says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? This is our God. The one who has paid such price. The one who has torn down all the obstacles. The one who has given Himself for us. The one who gives us boldness and access with confidence. He's the one who says, I've done all these things. That's my example. Now live your life knowing that you could come to the one who's done all these things for you. What will I withhold? He's telling us, come before Him. Be bold. Be bold with your requests. Be bold with your ability to come before Him. Be confident. Have faith that He is looking out for the good of who you are and what you need in your life. Come to Him with boldness. Come to Him knowing that He wants you to be there. Come to Him knowing that He loves you and loves you dearly. And this is the reason that He's done what He has done. In the name of the Lord be praised.